Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway podcast, that podcast focused on the zero emission future that we all hope for. Every week I get joined by one of the wonderful members of the team from the EV Cafe, and this week I've got JC on the holidays.
Oh yeah, I took the sunnies off and the knotted hanky just for today.
And put a t-shirt on, viewers, thank goodness. Anyway, but we always get joined by innovators, pioneers and collaborators. And it is quite an exciting one this week, I think, because she truly is a pioneer and part of a very innovative and collaborative collective on the interwebby thingy. And that is Michelle Breffitt. Michelle,
hello.
Welcome.
Hey, yeah.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And really, you're one of the founding members of the team Women Drive Electric, aren't you?
Yeah, myself and George Thurman set it up.
Fantastic. So for those people that have been living under a rather large rock for some period of time, please tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all, and then a brief introduction. We're going to ask you lots of questions, of course, but a little bit about Women Drive Electric as well.
Excellent. So, yeah, I'm Michelle. I live in Derbyshire. I feel like I'm on a blind date now. I live in Derbyshire with my husband and 9-year-old son, Jensen. And I am co-founder of Women Drive Electric, which has been created to provide a space for women to ask questions and share their experiences about driving electric cars. We aim to connect people who don't normally talk cars to the answers they need to make the switch, because that's where we all want everyone to move to when it's right for them and in the right way. And we do this in a community that's sort of real world, authentic. We're EV positive, but EV realistic. So we talk through the challenges. We don't sugarcoat things. We just try to help people find the solution they need that's right for them.
Now, you mentioned your son, Jensen. And I love that name. And it suggests one of two things, and I could be completely wrong, but Jensen Button, was he an influence or was it the Jensen Interceptor car?
Yeah, so a bit of both, actually. My husband and I are both very automotive, both like motorsports, and we both worked in the automotive industry, as have our families, which it seems to be a generational thing. Very automotive motorsport background. So he is the Jensen Button spelling rather than Jensen the car, which is great because he's actually started a new school and there's another boy called Jensen and he's the car and Jensen and my Jensen's the driver. So it's great.
I don't think we need to go down a route of Jensen driving Jensen, do we? No, definitely not.
Too much.
Anyway. But Michelle, so, I mean, this community that you've built. First of all, I'm ever so distracted that you're on blind date but married with a child. I don't know. Anyway, there we go. But on a serious note, you've built this community to quite a number. Talk to me about the sort of growth and, you know, how you're progressing along in this and what sort of numbers of women are engaging with this and you know where they can find you, of course, as well. That'd be good. Place.
Yeah, so the main sort of hub of information is within our Facebook group. We're just sort of tipping towards 5,200 members of women, those who identify as female, non-binary, and trans women who've joined. And there's a certain demographic that's not in that list. And unfortunately, the reason why we set up was because there was a lot of supportive communities out there, Facebook groups, but there was unfortunately some misogynistic comments. What I know from working in automotive is women don't typically talk cars. There's lots of men that are not petrol heads too, but typically women don't talk cars. So what we tried to provide is a supportive environment where women could ask questions. And typically questions do start with, sorry for asking a stupid question. I might be being silly, but. So this is very typical that women sort of apologise for asking a question, which is very valid and anyone could be asking it. So, it's unfortunate that we've had to create this space, but There's niches for everything, and we think we're a bit of a massive niche.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europe Car, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europe Car's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europe Karma. Search Europe Car Business.
Does it feel like, it must, I guess, that we've really not made much progress? I mean, the automotive sector has, I've worked a long time in the automotive sector, probably 35 years pretty much, from about 1990. And I remember all of the time, you know, being very conscious that women make a lot of the buying decisions in many homes, and even back then when it was probably not as popular, but there were women still coming in and making their own individual decisions, and also kind of making the decision with the partner that maybe they were stay-at-home mums, which is perfectly legitimate and a pretty challenging job, by the way. But coming into the dealership and into the showrooms, and it was the vehicle, was they were the driving force behind that vehicle. So, I mean, are we not changing? Are we just not listening?
I think there's a lot of people listening. It's the action that needs to happen. And there are some unconscious bias out there. We've seen this grow, this unconscious bias narrative grow over in recent years. But unfortunately, there are still women today going into car showrooms. And I only spoke to someone last week at the EV Summit about it. And they're saying, what you said is right. I went out to 8 different car dealerships, and half of them didn't necessarily want to sell me an EV because they didn't quite believe in them. And the other half kept talking to my male partner. And it's just so frustrating to hear. So, but that inspires me really to keep going, because what we want to do is amplify the voices of women that can share their experiences, not to go around man bashing. And to be honest, there's some female sales execs that are doing exactly the same thing. But what we want to do is try to just share those experiences, their real world experiences, so that we can find out from each other what's relevant to us and our family life, and you know, what's typical for an EV driver, because I think they'll learn more from that real world. Those conversations need to happen on the ground, not through a marketing in a brochure. Sometimes it doesn't translate as well to maybe real world for many women.
Do you find that the range of questions that you're getting through Facebook are broadly similar to the ones that men pose? But actually, this is about a more understanding environment that you can answer those questions in. So you don't have the know-it-all fella coming along and saying, it's only a woman, that kind of thing. So the issues are the same, but you just understand that sometimes men can be stupid.
You said it.
We can be clumsy, Michelle, can't we? We really can be clumsy, rooted in the past, use inappropriate language, not really be as caring and supportive as we should be. And what you're saying is that Women Drive Electric provide that environment to safely ask the questions you need to ask.
It's true. And as a woman in automotive, I still think car showrooms look intimidating and scary places. And I know that world. I know what goes on behind those office doors. I believe people are genuinely kind and honest most of the time. Unfortunately, we don't have to go back very far for women having to have their partner or their dad authorised for them to have a bank account. You know, I remember growing up where women were not allowed to go into the bars in a pub on their own. You know, we haven't, that wasn't that long ago. So you've got to think, although today we feel there are those historical influences, unconscious biases are there. And one of my sort of trigger moments in my career where I realised, oh, I didn't know the world was like this, was meeting a lady called Julia Muir. And I, in her book, she says, as women and girls, we're raised to be afraid of groups of men. Yeah. So it's just our heckles go up. We walk with our keys in a certain way. When we walk back to our cars, we park specifically where there's light. If we know we're going to come back in the dark, there is just certain things that we do and we experience in day-to-day life that isn't necessarily there for most men. So when a woman walks into a car showroom, whether she knows it or not, if there is a group of men huddled up or in the garage to get their MOT or a service, you know, if there is a group of men huddled together, there's an instinctive reaction that comes along to think, oh, am I safe? Which is ridiculous to think. But if that little niggle's just there a little bit, there's already going to be on the back foot. But yeah.
Well, do you know what? It's just prompted my thought here, because I guess, I don't know, it's always dangerous to go to there's two sides to every argument. But how do we bring the both sides of the challenge together? Because there's a challenge in the unconscious bias of men, absolutely, and there's possibly a challenge in the unconscious fear from women. Is that fair, or am I barking up the wrong tree?
I think it's just firstly recognizing that it's there, isn't it? You can't talk about something and come to a solution. One group of people can't solve it on their own. I think the two groups have to communicate and think, okay, oh, I didn't realize I did that. Why am I worried? And I think that there's a lot of research out there, like you said, about women's influence on the purchasing process for many products. Remember, women often buy for the wider family. They don't just buy for themselves. So their purchasing power across the household is huge. So I see that as an opportunity for car companies to actually think, wow, we can position ourselves as the ones to trust. How do we do that? Okay, we can make sure, firstly, we test our cars on female shapes and size bodies, which isn't stereotypical. Women are more likely statistically to be killed or seriously injured in a car accident because of the testing. And the reason why the test on a male-shaped size body, because there was probably no women in the room making the decision when they designed them, when they decided what the process was going to be. So we just believe that everybody should have a voice and an input. It's like people that live with a disability. Don't make a decision without including them in the conversation. So yes, but I mean, going back to probably, John, your question before about what we're providing and what people are asking. Yes, there's typical questions. I did make a list, actually, about the questions this past week. I thought to myself, I wonder if I should share. So charger, home charger capabilities. So which charger should I buy? Which is going to work with which energy tariff? So, yep, very typical. Car choice opinions. So I'm looking to switch from this, and these are my shortlists. So it's great because we have generally women who drive all different types of electric vehicles. So they can say, yes, this happens. Warts and all, they'll share, but they still love their EV. You know, I think that's great. It's great peer-to-peer recommendations. The biggest one that we get on is people who want to charge publicly. So if they've got a long journey, they'll say, oh, I'm driving from here to here, stopping off with the kids. I've got the dog anywhere to recommend to go for a walk with the dog for an hour while we charge. That's brilliant. I've used that myself, going to London, going to park and charge while I'm parked. New car days, obviously, when people get their new car, they share their collection, which is great. We've had a huge amount of increase in numbers with women who don't drive an electric vehicle yet. So I don't know if something's changed in the algorithm for Facebook, but we're seeing so many more women that are not already driving an EV or are driving a hybrid. So again, they're just asking those first EV questions. Questions about realistic range. You know, I'm looking at a Corsa E. What are you getting typically? So then those women that have got those cars give that feedback. Obviously, we share our events for Women Drive Electric as well. Recommended places to buy as well has been in this past week. Someone's considering a car supermarket that they've never used or heard of before. So they're asking if anyone knows about them. We also get questions about salary sacrifice. We've got a lot of NHS salary sacrifice women in there as well, nurses, which has been useful as well, because when we've been asked specifically for, is anyone working in the NHS and using their electric car, we can find those people, you know, that have helped combat news stories that have been out there. I think one particular one, there was a negative news story about a driving school that had an EV. They were complaining they were having to charge their students more money for driving electric. Well, George quickly found another female driving instructor and put them in touch with the journalist to do a sort of an opposing story, if you like. So it's great that we've got so many women, such a pool of women to have access to. Technology, you know, if there's something's on the infotainment system they want questions with, and just general feedback. And obviously with our events, when I've sat on panels and things in the past, I've very often asked the question in the group and they give me plenty of information. So we've become a bit of an accidental focus group in a way.
We know that feeling well. And I guess that's the point, in that all of those questions that you've had are very similar to the questions we get. And I suspect that your secret is actually that whilst it's called Women Drive Electric, you still integrate with the wider industry, the wider groups that exist. You know, we all coexist side by side, and we get to speak to you and learn from your experience. You get some of our input as well and some of the other parts of the industry. So you're not setting yourself up as some sort of enclave where it's only women and women only speak to women and that's it, the end. It's just a group of people that come together to share in a safe space. But the knowledge that you have and you can gain comes from all over the place. You're the best of all worlds, I guess. And that's really positive.
It is. And we've been, like yourself, Sarah, and the whole team at EV Cafe in the past have always give us a shout out. And that's great to just say we're here. That we do exist, because we do have a lot of women in the group that work in the EV industry. We don't announce who anybody is, but what they can do, and we have car salespeople in there, we have car manufacturers in there, energy companies are in there, women that work in these industries. And we always say, it's not a sales page, it's not to go on and pitch your business, but if a question comes up that you know the answer to and you want to signpost them to your business, that's absolutely fine. That's no problem at all. You know, we've been very kindly followed by a new car sales manager at a Ford dealership. She's been and contributed to the group. And we always say, give to the group as much as you want to take from it. So as you know, Jill Noel, she always shares her updates and insights and little tips and tricks. So when she's got a survey, for example, for EVA England, she gets the responses she needs because she's contributed along the way. So the lady from the Ford dealership, she shared about her trip to Legoland with her children and her Ford Capri, I think it was. And then she messaged me privately and said, I hope that's okay. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what we want. So when some questions came up a few weeks ago about the government grant with the Puma, she was there and she was like, am I okay to help? Yes, you are, definitely. And she's messaged again saying, you know, if you ever do an event and you want a car to use, and now she's helping us with our next event and providing a car for us, because it's about collaboration, as that word always comes up. We're all working towards a common goal.
So going back to the younger Michelle, what made you want to join the industry? Because, you know, back in the day, as you rightly point out, it's a tough place to be a woman. So what made you think, oh, yeah, I'm going to go and work there?
I did. Well, I worked at the same motor dealer group for 20 years. I literally grew up there. And there was a few changes and shifts around, and that day came where it was a restructure and my role was being made redundant. And I did start off in automotive at like 16 years old. So I'd got no qualifications. No, I know. I should have said I was five, shouldn't I? Yeah.
You stopped me from saying my usual child labour line, you know.
I got into automotive very early. I always, from a very early age, wanted to drive. I knew driving was freedom to me. I knew opportunity came from being able to drive because my mum didn't learn to drive till she was well into her 30s. For me, driving just to me was opportunity. So I could not wait. Literally the day I turned 17, driving lessons. It was an accident to fall into automotive, to be honest. A complete accident. And where I ended, the dealership I ended up working at, I used to walk past that dealership as a child. It was quite weird how it sort of went full circle. But working in the automotive industry from 95, so not far behind you, 96, maybe 97. A long time ago. And wanting to drive before I could drive, I was in the industry, and I always knew I was ambitious, but I wasn't necessarily very academic. So I left school with nothing, and quickly realised working in the automotive world, I needed to get some qualifications. So I started a business admin MVQ apprenticeship. And it was the best thing for me, really, because I knew I could get a qualification while I was earning money, because, again, I needed the money to pay for the driving lessons. That was the start of it. And then I was in the role, and I was really grateful for the opportunities at my old place, because lots of people said, oh, you'll put your hand up to anything. I was literally like the donkey in Shrek, like, pick me, pick me. You know, whenever there's a course, I'm always at the front squinting at the screen. And it worked in fleet, loved working in fleet. And then this funny thing come along called the internet. And we had one machine just with email at the time. I remember we had the intranet, I think, messaging each other. Yeah, mm-hmm. That old thing. And it was just, I found it interesting, but I wasn't techie at all. But I was curious, I was interested, and I asked questions. So I knew I needed to get some front of house experience because I wanted to deal with customers face to face. I thought to myself, what can I do? So I went and worked on reception on Saturdays and Sundays in the car showroom because I was working in fleet in the office. So I worked in the car showroom because I got fed up, actually, of coming in on a Monday morning and hearing that company car people had been in over the weekend and they just like took the details. So what used to happen is I'd be on reception, getting paid, obviously, for being on reception, but I was able to help the fleet customers that were coming in at the weekend as well because I worked in fleet. So it was a win-win, really. And like I say, I probably got a bit of a reputation for sort of get Michelle to do it, she'll do it. Or if there was a delivery somewhere, Michelle would go and do it. And then I got approached by our marketing director, and he said, I'm looking at setting up some like an internet sales team. And I didn't even know really what that would look like, to be honest, but I'll do it. He approached me and I said yes. And we set up what was probably one of the very first internet sales department for the Vauxhall network. So we ended up having what was then termed a BDC, a business development center. And I started off with I had a bell for when the phone rang from the web page, just in case I was outside or so. The bell, the phone's ringing. And what used to happen is I used to take the inquiry and go to the sales team and they'd be like, the internet, you know, because obviously internet, people off the internet never buy anything. And over time, I got a bit fed up because I used to sell vans as well, obviously, Paul, you know. I love a van. I used to sell vans for a time as well. And I remember thinking, I can't do this. So I got my old deposit book out from when I sold vans. So I started taking £50 deposits when people were very like, yeah, we can reserve that for a £50 deposit. So I started going in with slips to the sales team saying, I've taken a deposit on this one. Does anybody want it?
And, wow, you'd have been popular.
So within a week, they were coming to me throughout the day saying, oh, have you got any internet inquiries, Michelle? So, yeah, I knew what I had to do to sort of motivate them a little bit into taking my internet inquiries very seriously. So from then, we merged with the marketing department. We went through the tough times through 2008, and the decision was made within the business to pull all the, what they call, I suppose, above-the-line marketing, so all your radio press, all the budget for that was pulled and centralised to set up the proper internet sales team. So we did that, and we built it in the end to about a team of 20. We're open 7 days a week, doing live chat, Facebook inquiries, all the inquiries from the manufacturer. So, yeah, it was... it was a huge journey. Because of the restructure, the business got bought out by PLC. Things changed in my life as well. And redundancy was on the cards, and it was the right time. So that was the time to reflect and realise. I did leave my job and went straight round to the BMW dealership and bought myself an i3S. Because one of the sort of sticking points was that I wanted an electric car, and the opportunity wasn't coming up. And the reason why I'd have wanted an electric car is because I hated going to the petrol station. I just did not like it.
But it's funny, isn't it? I mean, that is a major difference for many people, actually. Just, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to put a truth out there in the room that the men in the world have to go to the petrol station. Oftentimes, I've been sent by two consecutive wives, let me tell you. Anyway.
Blue job, it's blue job.
It's sorry, what?
It's a blue job.
Oh, blue.
Not in my household. Not in my household, but in many people's house jobs. Blue job,
right.
Pink jobs.
Right, okay. Ah. Yes. Yes, anyway, keep it above the line. Anyway.
Indeed, move on.
Yeah, move on quickly. But that's true, right? I mean, a lot of people are triggered by that. But so was that the trigger to begin to focus on sustainability and sort of driving electric? You know, you just didn't want to go to the petrol station anymore.
And my son, by that time he was four, he was about to go to school, and you know, you sort of reevaluate things as you get a bit older. And I'd always done my recycling and tried to do my bit, but actually when I heard EVs were coming while I was still working in my previous role, I did sort of learn about it because there were courses from Vauxhall, and I thought, do you know what, this probably is the right thing to do. Didn't really know why. That was just the triggers, I guess. Want to save money and, you know, hopefully towards saving the planet as well. And as my little boys going to school and thinking, well, what do I want to do? So I volunteered for a little bit with Julia to go and talk in schools about working in automotive. With her Auto 30% clubs, she does a lot of outreach work with schools. My husband's got a car body shop, so he just said, look, come and do a bit within the car body shop for a bit, be a mum for a bit, and didn't really know what I wanted to do. But I'd worked since I was 15. It was very, very strange not going to work. But obviously, we went, and it went into COVID straight after my redundancy. So I was lucky. I started working for Motor Clarity, which is a disability motoring website. I could work from home, and James, who was my previous marketing director, set up Motor Clarity to help the disabled community find great deals on cars. And so that was useful for me. I was able to speak to dealers, to advertise with us, to car manufacturers, again to advertise. Kia came on board with us. Mitsubishi was our first manufacturer client. So it was great. But it was always on the sort of it was always on a couple of days a week from home, and I wasn't sure what was going to come next. And I went on to a workshop for automotive journalists with Erin Baker from Autotrader, and it was a Porsche drive day with a Porsche Macan. And the aim was to try and get more women creating content about cars. And what she said made sense. Yeah, if we get more women creating content, then more women will listen. And that's where I met George. And just by chance, her husband also runs a car body shop. My husband runs a car body shop. We're both slightly older mums, you know, having children a bit older. We've both got boys. Just slightly. So her sons are a year either side of the age of my son. So, you know, we were just sort of very similar, like sisters from another mister. So we got off and she said, I'm looking at doing this Facebook group because I've got questions about electric cars and I'm sick of being, you know, told to go and ask my husband in the other Facebook group. So I'm just going to set up with all the women that I know in the EV industry, I'm just going to set up this other group. And I was like, well, I've got an electric car. By that time, I'd switched to a Jaguar I-Pace. And so I said, well, and I wanted to experiment with creating content and writing, but again, in a safe space, because, you know, putting yourself out there is scary into the big wide world, isn't it? So I thought, yeah, this is a great opportunity to share what I create from my car in an environment where hopefully it's I'm not going to get trolled, basically.
And do you find that you do get a tough time sometimes? Are people unpleasant, difficult?
No, I don't get those attacks, probably because we are under the guise of Women Drive Electric. We've always said Women Drive Electric isn't about Michelle and George. It's about every woman who drives electric and using our platform to amplify those voices so more women engage with the product, with the industry. I love the automotive industry. I absolutely love it. I don't understand why more women don't work in it. But then I understand the challenges and the pitfalls that are unfortunately there in terms of long working hours, working weekends, and, you know, the pay structure very often is very low basic, high commission. And, and it is that terminology used in sales very much, like the hunter or driven, or, you know, these could be sort of triggers for women to think, oh, I'm not going to fit in there because that's not my approach. So I think we miss out on a lot of a huge talent pool that's available out there that could sell cars. And I think when I was running the call centre, the internet sales team, it became most apparent to me when I had somebody come off maternity leave and she was working part time, and she was actually achieving just as much results as the full timers. So it opened my eyes, really.
Yeah.
I've always found that and I don't know why it is, maybe you can help me, but I think the women that make their way into the automotive sector, both from a leasing perspective, all the best account managers I ever worked with were women, by a country mile. Most of the time they were detailed, hardworking, really good communicators. I mean, I've always found typically those people that end up in front of employers are that more determined or motivated, it seems. Is that your experience?
I think when you think about the balance, probably from your experience in fleet and lease, that's all about relationship building, long-term connections, not that one-hit wonder that's in the car sales showroom environment. It's very today-driven.
I will say that, you know, I worked 8 years in dealerships as well. So, you know, kind of in a similar, but this was late 90s. So, you know, that, it wasn't quite as prolific, but my experience was more, but also dealing with it from a fleet and leasing point of view into the sector. Typically the people that supported the lease companies, the most effective were women. I can name a number of different women that are still working in that sector now that are really, really strong and stand out head and shoulders above many of their peers. So.
Yeah, I think, and I would question as well, do they stand out because they are women? Do you know what I mean? Is it because
I mean, I may have...
In terms of results, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's maybe
it's reliability for me.
It's being there and attention to detail, doing the paperwork, turning up when you said you're going to turn up. Yeah. There's a lot of commitment for a woman to do a job, and very often she's got other impacting factors outside of the workplace, you know, very often, and it is very typical, and we are just generalising, but very often men can go to work and there is somebody managing the household, not all of it, and you know, there's the, you know, my husband helps out as well at home, and you know, we all helping each other, but in the main, the sort of the mental arithmetic of I need to get that home, make sure he's done that homework tomorrow, I need to get that kit washed for Friday, you know, that happens you're thinking about washing kit now. So there's, you know, fetching elderly parents as well, you know, if there's any concerns there, it generally falls because women take the time off for maternity leave traditionally as well, you know, that caregiver responsibility is an extra, you know, there's a long list of probably reasons why, but the reality is women that go into the automotive industry are a certain type of woman, and we are tenacious and we are persistent. And typically, like for myself, I was told very early on in the automotive, you're all right, Michelle, you'll do well. I said, but for a woman in this industry, you've got to work twice as hard, be twice as smart to get half as far. And you know what? I took that on the chin and I just said, okay, then that's the way it is. But 20 odd years later, I don't want to be hearing of youngsters going into the industry and hearing those words. I want them to think and look up and realise achievement can be there. So in a nutshell, we as Women Drive Electric, we want to get more women sharing their experiences, more women in the industry being visible, to amplify their voices and position them as experts in the industry as well to others, men, all genders. Then more women hopefully will engage with us as an industry, make it feel welcome to them to walk in or join us as a career. And if we've got more women in the industry considering us a career, working in the industry, we make life easier, not just for women, we make life easier for men too that want to be parents and actually be present in their households for the sports day and things. Because, you know, it's supposedly true, if you make things more female friendly, you make it more gender neutral anyway. So it works for both. And then ultimately, we have more women in leadership positions in the industry to make better decisions going forward. And then we won't have the situation where we've got crash test dummies designed on a male body because there's only men in the room. You know, we'll have women influencing the decisions going forward. So it can only make our industry better. It's not about stamping somebody else out or, you know, blocking one group of people out. It's about coming together and producing something even better.
Michelle, I wonder, you've achieved a lot in your life, and you've done that through your tenacious and hardworking approach. What are you most proud of having achieved thus far?
Oh, my son, obviously. He's got to be proud of, yeah.
Funny, husbands never get a look in. I don't know.
Well, he's my biggest cheerleader. He's my biggest supporter, that, you know, in the background. He's not very active on social media or anything like that. But, you know, he is always the one. Very early on, he was the one who pushed me into making sure I went involved with the Tinternet sales thing very early on, because he just thought that, you know, he thought that I had potential, I guess.
Yeah.
So he's always been a great supporter of mine. But in terms of achievements, I received a special recognition award from the Auto 30% Club, and that was sort of for my contribution towards helping women make the switch to electric cars. You know, we do say women don't typically talk cars, but I've learned so much by being on this woman train, because for very often I just lived in a man's world and it wasn't a prop. There was no problem because I was okay. You know, I was okay. And then I realised, you know, looking around a room, the first conference I went to with Auto 30% Club was at Facebook. And this room full of women that were just so inspiring and, you know, really wanting to make change. Yet we were complaining that we didn't feel we were achieving the high levels of leadership. And I just it just didn't compute. Something didn't compute. And then as I read a book called The Authority Gap. Big recommendation if you're interested in that book. The first recommendation came from Sandrine at EVA England to read Invisible Women. And that opens your eyes in terms of the way the world works. So, good book recommendations there for you.
Yeah, Paul's first three girlfriends were invisible women. Anyway, moving on.
Shh. Dear, dear. But my good lady wife is very, very real and visible these days. Absolutely. Michelle, this has been great, but we have a closing tradition on the EV Cafe podcast. Oh, the smile, okay, smile, a knowing smile. Well, hang on, let's see. We give everybody the privilege of one wish from the EV Cafe magic wand. There you go, everybody. There it blows up. Oh, fresh from Harry Potter. We had it doctored, you know, just with the little lightning bolt there.
Yellow.
I don't know. Maybe the gold's running off. It's gold. Yeah. There we go.
Runaway gold. Mate. Oh, right. I see it a bit more now. Yes.
Yeah. So, right. Well, you're going to get it up close and personal, but it's going to be one of those like invisible ones. So here it comes. Are you ready? Take the magic wand, Michelle. Here it is. There you go. Michelle now has the magic wand in her possession. So you now get the power of one magical wish. And we've had lots of wonderful wishes of all different kinds. World peace is sorted. Don't worry. That was wished for a few weeks ago. We've had lots of lovely things. So why don't you tell us what you would wish for if you had the power?
In anything.
Yeah, well,
EV space.
It can be anything. Listen, we have had somebody step outside of the EV space and have a personal chef. But anyway,
that sounds great.
I know, right?
My wish is to find a day where women don't get those negative experiences walking into car dealerships or to garages, and they don't feel they're going to be ripped off. They feel informed, they feel inspired, and they feel they've got the tools to make the right decision that's for them, to make the switch to electric, and they also have the confidence to walk away if they don't get the service they want and deserve.
Ooh, I like that bit at the end. That just... because a lot of this stuff is about exactly that, isn't it? It's about people waking up and providing a proper service. And you know, I think we can all relate to not getting a good service, but I appreciate the fact that that confidence piece of going, well, actually, no, I'm not going to accept that, you know, and not put up with it. So good wish. I mean, John, I don't know about you, but I think that was more than one wish rolled into one wish. I think we'll accept it on this occasion.
I think I'm turning a blind eye. Let's just move on.
Well, we all deserve better service, don't we? We all deserve great service. Yep. You know, buying a car is an exciting thing. Like I say, I love the industry, you know, and we have, as an industry, we have got an old-fashioned reputation problem, I think, and that's hung around for a long time. I'd like to get rid of that hangover and be seen as a professional industry that's credible, trustworthy, and provides a great service with great products.
So say all of us, quite right.
That should be your strap line on your website. This has been brilliant, hasn't it, John?
Yeah, brilliant. And what the thing that it's done for me is it's shown how skillful Michelle is, because this is a minefield. And anybody who wants to talk openly about gender and how society operates to suppress any group is a very brave human being. And Michelle, you are no different. You have stuck your head into what could have been seen as the lion's den with a very challenging subject in a very difficult industry to break down. And you are making it happen. You know, over 5,000 people on Facebook believe in what you are doing and how you're doing it. I just think that's remarkable, a great achievement and testament to George and you and all of the members that slowly our industry is changing for the better. So top job.
Thank you.
I think that getting that balance right to engage the whole industry is really challenging, because it could, you know, people could take it the wrong way and be separatist about it. Oh, there's women drive electric over there, and well, we'll have men drive electric over here. You know, that's a bit of nonsense, right?
But it, we do because get it's, that.
Yeah, well, yeah, and
well, that's, I do that's... respond with, "There's been men and motors around for a long time."
Oh, that was a very different thing. Very different.
Oh dear. But it's great, and it's I love working within a niche. Is a great space to work, right? You get a lot of satisfaction out of it. I think you're making a difference, and kind of get the sense that that's what really floats your boat. Motability, that sort of motor clarity. Sorry, working with those guys, and you know, just kind of lifting everybody and bringing everybody along. So Michelle, it's been a real pleasure. So I'm going to encourage everybody to go over. Well. I guess all the women listening to go over and join Women Drive Electric, because I'm guessing, I don't know. Can we can't join, can we?
Well, you can certainly join us on socials. Obviously, follow along. We have a website, so you can go and read the stories of some women who drive electric there and register for our newsletter. We always want to speak to women in the industry who've made the switch to electric, or they work in the industry and want to share their story. Which Sarah has as well already. And we also engage with lots of people in industry through LinkedIn mainly. But people can reach out to me direct on LinkedIn or George if they want to discuss opportunities. You know, we've been called all sorts, and you know, the most favourite one is the lionesses of the EV world. So,
go on.
So, you know, the lionesses have done amazing things for girls in football in my local area. I don't know what it's like in yours, but you know, there's a new surge of women, of girls and women interested in a sport that we always deemed as being male dominated, male topic. Not inclusive at all. So if we can, you know, look on the automotive industry in years to come with the same way we're looking at women playing football now, I'll be very happy. And it will take more than just us. There's got to be more women out there pushing ahead for this and having our male allies.
Yeah, but it's great to see so many. I mean, there's women that I look up to in this sector, you know, like Ginny Buckley, Jodie Kidd, you know, people that
they're all
are really
taller
kind
than
of,
you.
Well, yeah, no, I literally look up to them. Yeah.
You're taller than me, Paul, but everybody.
Well, there
everybody
you go.
Else.
There you go. See, there's a balance everywhere. But it's been fabulous. And thank you. It's George Thurman for everybody. All of the links and all of the stuff will be in the description of this podcast. And of course, thanks to Michelle and for everything she's doing along with George and the whole Women Drive Electric crew and all the women that are real positive advocates for their peers and also for all of the men. Allies out there, because we've got to work together. We know that it's important, and I think the more of us that can take it on as just to bring balance and equity of opportunity, I think that's the really critical piece, so that everybody can deliver what they want to deliver and have visions and dreams for the future, which Michelle has done brilliantly, and we're very grateful to you. So check out all the other podcasts, everybody. We've got lots and lots of wonderful men and women from across the industry, leadership. You know, one of my favorite podcasts of this time has been Fiona Howarth, who's a great woman leader, but we've got Jackie Barker, we've got Sarah, we've got there's just so many great people, and if I've forgotten or missed you in this particular summary, you'll get a shout out another day. And until next time, everybody, thanks so much for listening and have a great day.